Today's one of those days I'm counting on the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd like to say I always do, but sometimes I try to count on me instead. But today is one of those Holy Spirit days. But first thing I want you to do is, you have your bulletin that had the scriptures on it. I want you to fold it, and then I want you to fold it, and then I want you to put it in your pocket or in your purse. Because I want you to read that scripture from the letter of Colossians this week. I want you to read it, and I want you to think about what that might be saying to you. Because I think that is saying some important stuff to us. I can tell you what it's saying to us, but I want to know what it's saying to you. Or, better yet, I want you to know what it's saying to you. I say that today is one of those days I'm relying on the Holy Spirit because there's so much I want to say and I don't know how to say it. We have a lesson from the Gospel of Luke where Jesus' disciples ask how to pray. Well, I hear that all the time from folks. How do you pray? I don't think I'm praying correctly. I don't know, you know, I'm not doing it right. Why isn't God answering my prayers? I must be doing something wrong. I mean, must not be faithful enough. I get those questions and those concerns. And good, we're asking questions about it. So good. Ask those questions. Sit with those. But Jesus gives a little bit to his disciples. He begins with Father, being able to use a term that for them, it wasn't just about God, it was about a good father was one who loves, who brought security to his family, who would know the good gifts to give. No scorpions, right? No snakes. I mean, that just even beginning with that puts them in the mindset that you're entering into a relationship that already exists. We're not begging for the relationship, it's there. And if it's a good relationship, as that would imply, then good things are going to come through it, not bad things. Now, I know, as do many of you, when we hear the word Father, it doesn't trigger a bunch of positive things for many of us. I deal with it as my title, Father Kirk, and I know that there are those who have parental figures who would give a scorpion or a snake because it's real. They're there. But the listeners of Jesus that day, it triggered a connection of goodness, not of the other. So let's focus on that piece, if that word triggers something. For Jesus, he's talking about this goodness from a relationship with a loving God that already exists. Hallowed be your name is reinforcing that. It was hallowed, it's sacred. It was since the beginning of time. Sacredness, goodness. Luke talks about both kingdom now in Jesus and kingdom later. Kingdom later, because it's an apocalyptic society that they're living in that, and I'll come to that in just a second. He does say, give us each day our daily bread. Well, the poor are already praying that every day because they're hungry and they don't know where it's coming from. And so those who do know where their next meal is coming from often take that for granted, but Jesus is saying, no, we all are going to pray this because this isn't an individual prayer. This says, give us our. This isn't about me. This is about us and our. So even those who know where their meal's coming from needs to actually pray this daily too to remind us of the love that we receive from God and that what we have, it's because of that relationship from the beginning of time. moves into forgiveness, and depending on which version, Luke is different than Matthew. And so the Lord's Prayer later that we'll pray together will be based on Matthew, but today in the scripture we get to hear it from Luke. And forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. It's an example. We're asking God to forgive us our sins, not as we forgive those who sin against us. That's not what it says here. This is, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. That's triggering in their mind what happens every 7 years in their culture. Jubilee year. Every 7 years, debts are forgiven. If you've borrowed any of the, you know, the banks wouldn't like this, right? Because all of those loans will be forgiven. Anything that's debted to us. So this is truly about restoring relationships back to an even playing field. Not, well, but you did this. No. We're going to even it out. So we need to forgive others just like our debts are forgiven every 7 years. And bring us not to the time of trial. There's the end times statement in there, because it's not that God brings us to the time of trial. In that tradition, in that world, it's going to happen. We're going to be tested at the end of time, and we don't trust in our own faith to do it, so we have to trust in God. So we're actually asking God to, can you pull us out beforehand? Because we don't know that we can actually pass that test. It's not God that's given the test. The test is just going to happen. Our faith's going to be tested, and our faiths get tested every day by how we respond to people in this world. We can talk about our faith, but how do we respond to it? Jesus follows this little bit of teaching with the parable. We hear about how the neighbor comes and knocks on the door, right? Because he's had somebody show up that he didn't know was coming, and he needs food. The guy's in bed. He's like, my kids, we're all locked up here. I really don't want to do this. But he does it. And part of the problem, if we start talking about how this relates to prayer, is the word persistence, because that's actually not the translation. The word actually should be translated shamelessness. So that changes it. Oh, just keep knocking for God, and God's going to give you what you want. Just be persistent. No, live in a life of being in shamelessness with God. And our whole outlooks will change. So there's only really two outcomes of this parable. When the people show up and he has no food in his house, he's already in dishonor. If he can't supply his guests, the culture says, you're dishonored, you are in shame, your honor's gone. And so he runs next door, hoping to maintain it. And he goes next door, and if he doesn't help his neighbor in need, then he will become dishonored himself, the person in bed. And so it's this cycle. So either both of them end in dishonor, or both of them end in honor. Both of them end in shame, or both of those guys are come out shameless and in good, right relationship. Simply by getting out of bed and offering some food. The whole party in that story comes out in right relationship. Because he had something to offer. And offered it. But the translators use persistence, so now we think we have to just keep asking God and begging God to get what we want. When we think that prayer is really about our needs, really it's about our faith in God. So, this is where I really get sketchy in my train of thought, because what I really want to tell you about was having something to offer, being called to offer it, and restoring honor and love into somebody's life. What's it take for you? If you have something to offer, what does it take for you to actually do it? Does it have to be, it's not inconvenient for me right now, so I'll go ahead and do it. Or, you know, if it's really inconvenient, I'm just not going to. I really wanted to watch that game today. I'm not going to come down and help Barb unpack those boxes. Got a plug in for you there. You owe me. I felt called to go to a planning meeting for Embrace Northern Nevada Pride. Okay, that was weeks ago. And that is the Northern Nevada version of free mom hugs for LGBTQ community, where moms hug kids whose moms won't hug them. The Embrace Nevada part actually allows dad hugs, too. And so I felt called to go to that, and that planning meeting, and I did, and I met some wonderful people. And so I played double duty yesterday at Pride. Part of it was that priest bit, where we walked and had a great crowd, and it was wonderful. And back at our booth, where we passed out, thanks to you all, so many wonderful frozen Otter Pops, which were a big hit. And thanks to my wife, who said, you know what we need? A big thing of sunscreen that's pump. And we gave away free sunscreen. Also a big hit. I've never seen so many people stand around a Pride booth that was a church Pride booth before ever. And it was wonderful because people were getting what they need. Actually, the little theological joke was, come get some sunscreen so you don't get burned. I didn't say that to them, but in my mind I'm going, just a little hellfire and damnation joke in the back of my mind. And so I was doing that, and we had wonderful people at our booth who were taking care of things. And so I could go over, and I take off my clergy shirt, and I put on my free dad hug shirt, and I spent most of my afternoon with them. Pop back over, make sure things are fine, sit down a minute, have a glass of water, go back over and hug some more. Because there weren't a lot. There was two dads, and one was there just a short amount of time. We learned quickly that a dad needed to be standing there. Now, I had something to offer. It was inconvenient. It was hot. I'm paying for it today. My body is still exhausted. I couldn't even get out of bed this morning. It was one of those creep crawl things to get into the hot shower, right? But I had something to offer. And if I think about, well, if I hadn't paid attention to that call to go help this out, that's just inconvenient. You know, I'm going to be hanging out with my peeps over there at our booth. I just don't want to be bothered by that today. But I didn't, luckily, because what I was able to do is to embrace people whose family won't embrace them because of who God made them. A simple little gift of a hug. Now, it was fascinating to see who could find some trust in an adult. The youth, some we are here, got a big booth, we got big free hug signs, hugs, free dad hugs, and some would come by, and no, they weren't ready yet. That may happen 5-6 times, right, until finally, when they're there, and then it's without hesitation, then I about get knocked over, because then it's, they're just coming, and when they get there, they won't let go. And then they cry. And then I cry, because I do that. To restore honor and love into somebody through a simple hug, it's what Jesus is talking about today. To be able to say that we are just going to say some prayers and let's follow this little nice little outline of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to pray to God, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Prayer is about relationship. It's about relationship between people created in God's image and that love that's there and our relationship with God. Whatever we do to strengthen that relationship and heal those relationships is prayer. Every hug I gave was a prayer. Without me even thinking about it. And it was holy. We all have something in our lives that we can offer up. I was called to that hug line. Everybody's not. I'm called to ministry to the LGBTQ community. Not everybody is. Everybody's called to love and to respect and to honor, but not everybody's called to go down and do that particular ministry. And to me, it's not even ministry. To me, it's just me being with people who I love and can be loved back, because it's joyful. You have something where you can live into this parable that you have, that when somebody's knocking, you're going to pay attention enough to realize they're knocking, and that they have a need that you can offer them. How many times is it just simply for them to be looked in the eye, to not be invisible? I want us to take from our scriptures today, and really that Colossians, read it this week, reflect on it. But what I want us to think about is to redefine prayer. We've got all our written prayers in here. We're Episcopalians. We love them because we don't like to pray without having a book in front of us. But I want you to think about prayer being anything that you do that strengthens your relationship with one another and with God. Because prayer is about relationship. It's not about changing God to get what you want. It's about changing us to see God around us. Amen.